come now together to praise our God. As a people who are called by you in your word. For you indeed are the Lord, our maker. You indeed are our God. And we are the people of your pasture, the flock under your care, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. We praise you for all that you have done, for how that you are the living God, who through out of all things or nothing created all things. You, the one who set the stars in their place and direct the course not only of the planets, but of our entire lives. You, the one who has given us the breath in our body. And as we come, as we worship you this day, we pray that you may be working amongst us, that you may be transforming us more and more into the likeness of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. For as we come, Lord, we know that our hearts are often far from you. Sin has transformed us so that we do not seek a shepherd. Instead, we are lost and we wander by our nature. Heavenly Father, sin affects each and every one of us in our entire lives. It is by our nature, who we are and what we do, sinful people. But yet, Lord, as we come, as we repent and believe, you give us the right to become children of God. Not through what we have done, not through anything we can say we've achieved by ourselves, but through Jesus Christ, our shepherd. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made a way that we might be forgiven, all by your work from beginning to end. You sent the Son came and died for us, rose again, sending the Spirit to apply that salvation to us. So Lord, help us to know that this day we can come with confidence into your presence as a flock under your care, with sins forgiven, approaching you, the Holy God, without fear, all because of the work of you have done, all through Jesus Christ, the wondrous Savior who has brought us salvation. And Lord, as we come to your word, we do pray that you may equip us by it more and more to follow you, to serve you. And that, Lord, that nothing that we say or do may add or take away from it, but that you may be given all the glory this day, and that we may be equipped for the service of you. Heavenly Father, we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to read together from God's word. I think of the points here somewhere. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. If you've got your Bibles, please do turn to it, because we'll be looking at this passage a lot. Please keep it marked as well, as we'll be constantly referring back to it. So that's Mark chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 30 to 44. We have the super abundant provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 30 to 34, we see the compassion of the shepherd, and verse 35 to 44. We have Jesus' creative power. So that's a super abundant provision here in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. And then in verse 30 to 34, the compassion of the shepherd. In verse 35 to 44, the Jesus' creative power. Let us read God's word together. This is the word of God. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And Jesus landed and saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked them. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Amen. We thank God for his word. So today we come to this passage in Mark's gospel, the super abundant provision of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's, to be fair, one of the best known miracles of the gospels. It's in each and every one of the gospel accounts, this Jesus providing in this miraculous provision. And in his compassion as he feeds these 5,000 men before him with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But let's be honest, it's an account that for many modern years we find difficult to accept. We find it beyond what is even possible because from a human perspective, what we have here in Mark's gospel is impossible. It is totally and utterly impossible for man. From a human perspective, there is no way that this can happen. But we have to remember the one that we come before is God incarnate, fully God and fully man. And nothing is impossible with God. So let's think of the compassion of the shepherd. Here we have the apostles. They gather around him. Remember, they've been sent out with no bread, no bag, no provisions of any kind. And they return once more to Jesus. And Jesus sees here that they need a rest. Look what he says to them. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. So what we have here is these disciples who are coming. They're coming back to Jesus. And we automatically, in the midst of this all, as Jesus tries to take them away to a quiet place, we see the different reactions of the gospel message that Jesus had been proclaiming. Because where were we last week? We were there with the death of John the Baptist, where Herod had heard of what they were doing and news reported back to him, and it brought it back to his mind of how he had silenced the messenger. But there's nothing more said about the death of John here. John's beheaded, and then the next thing, the account continues almost uninterrupted from verse 13. These apostles come back, but look at the difference of the people. After the apostles came back, in verse 31, so many people were coming and going that they did not have a chance to eat. See, we had the reaction of Herod, silenced the message, and the reaction of the people who longed to hear what Jesus had to say. This message of repentance, the people flock. Look what we're told, as the disciples and the apostles are so exhausted after all, they need the rest. Well, the demands were constant upon them. They were constant upon Jesus. And so they go to a quiet place. He invites them to come with himself, to rest in him, to come with him there in verse 31. We don't know how long these apostles have been out and about. They've been ministering, but it could have been for a day. It could have been for more. It's only speculative what way we could say. But they were weary from their exhaustion, their exertion. Jesus sees it in them. You know, looking around, none of you are falling asleep just yet. We all know that we have time and we just need a rest. We've got so much going on in life and we just need a break from it all. But the next thing, the thing is, we go home and we think we're going to get 10 minutes peace and quiet, and the phone goes, or one of the weans makes a noise and there's a crying from the next door room, or there's a caller at the door, or all of a sudden you come home and you see that thing needs to be done and it just can't wait. We all have times like that. See, for those of you who have been working from home, and I know there's a few of you, things have just changed so much that it's inescapable, this whole concept of work and life and everything else. Well, I know this isn't the thrust of this passage here, but there is something that we should take note of. Jesus looks at these wearied apostles and he says, come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Rest. You know, we all know that this is something that we need. We need rest from time to time. God has structured our week in a way that is 6 days for work and a day for rest. He's given us in his moral law, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord. On us that you shall not do any work, neither your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals or your alien within your gates. For 6 days did the Lord make the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in it. But he rested on the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. The Lord's given us a balance in life. He's given us a work-life balance. 6 days to labor and the seventh to rest. But that doesn't mean that those 6 days should be crammed full of everything that we can fit in. I often think to myself, if only I had more hours in a day. How many of us feel that way? We just want to have an extra few hours to get all those things that we wanted to get fixed, fitted in. The Lord has given us a pattern of rest and work. We're not to work 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. We often think we should be able to do more and work more and achieve more. And yes, we are to work and labor, but we still need sleep. We still need to eat. We still need to rest. I know there's a few of you could really do with, like myself at times, listening to this. As Jesus says, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Rest. Well, here Jesus and the apostles, well, they go. They go away by themselves and they go to get some rest in the midst of all of these people coming out to hear them, coming out to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Everything here is taking beside the Sea of Galilee. We know from Luke's gospel that they withdrew to Bethsaida. It's about 4 miles away in the boat along the edge of the lake. The crowd here, we're told, pursued them. Well, you'd imagine for a wee minute being down at Strangford Lough, right? Okay, we all know it. We've all taken lovely walks around there and say that place like White Rock. There's a wee harbour there. I was introduced to it last summer. There's that wee harbour and somebody goes out in a boat and you can see where they're going. You can see whether they go right or left. Well, here you've got the crowd on the shore and they see Jesus and the apostles going in this boat to get some rest and they follow them. They can see the direction and they pursue Jesus and the apostles. As they go through the villages, as they pass homes, people see this crowd running towards Jesus and they go, what's going on with that? And they join in and they pursue him also effectively. This is like a flock of sheep. If you've ever seen a flock get scared, all of a sudden the sheep just go and all the sheep start to join them and they all go. And if there's a fence in the way, they'll do all that they can to get here. The crowds following Jesus. They go to a solitary place, but in the end of it wasn't so solitary after it all. You know, most of us at this stage, whenever we landed this, as we're told Jesus landed here as they went away by themselves, most of us, if we were constantly being hounded, we would just, if we were at home, we would shut the door and just say, look, I need 5 minutes. Or we would go to find a quiet place out in the yard or wherever it would be where we can switch off the phone. We would say to people, I haven't even had dinner yet. I'll phone you back. Whatever it may be. Maybe even something stronger would come from our lips. Look what Jesus' reaction is to them there in verse 34. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them. Jesus had first compassion on the tired apostles. He tried to take them away from the crowd that had gathered around them, whereas in the apostles are still there. They're still in need of rest. They're still in need of sustenance. And yet Jesus has compassion on this crowd. It's compassion that we've seen many times throughout Mark's gospel as Jesus has healed and taught and as he's taken the gospel out. But the reason why he has compassion, and look at it there, he has compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, for most of us here, we think of a shepherd, and we think of the scriptures teach about being a shepherd, and we automatically think to Psalm 23.
Or maybe for you, it's that you think the Psalm number 100 or Psalm 95, Psalm 95, which we our call was taken from today. For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Or Psalm 100, where it says, shout for joy all the earth. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God, it is he who has made us, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Scriptures are full of this shepherding imagery that we are told of. But for Mark's readers, it would have brought something else to mind. For those who heard it, it would have brought something else to mind, not Psalm 23 or 100 or 95. It would have had so much more significance to what we initially think is happening here. For these people were reared on the scriptures. They would have had a better knowledge than any of us here would have. See, when the people heard what Jesus said here in verse 34, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They would have thought of more than just the psalmist or anything else. They would have thought initially to the Exodus generation, Numbers 27, Deuteronomy 34, and 1 Kings 22, Ezekiel 34, Isaiah 40, all speaking of the need of a shepherd, the people of God. And then in Jeremiah 3, we're told, and I will give you a shepherd after my own heart. He will feed you with knowledge and understanding. See everything that goes on here. Jesus has compassion on these people. He was showing how he is the one who would lead a new Exodus. The one who the people had been waiting for throughout the generations. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I want you, if you've got your Bibles open in front of you, to look with me. Because there's a word repeated here. Now, if you've got an NIV in verse 31, you're told that there is a quiet place. So when, because so many people were coming and going, Jesus said, come by yourselves to a quiet place. Okay, in the ESV, in the King James, you'll see something different. Come to that in a moment. But in verse 32, you'll see something else. If you've got the NIV, in a boat to a solitary place. Quiet place, solitary place. The same word is used there. But if you've got the King James, you'll see the word that's used there is wilderness. If you've got the ESV in before you, you'll see that it's desolate place. And then over in verse 35, this is a remote place, they said to each other. Same word, wilderness, desolate place. See, what we have here is a comparison once more to the wilderness. They were like sheep without a shepherd. But it also takes place in the wilderness. This is a desolate place that recalls to our minds all that happened in the Exodus and how they were a people in need of a shepherd, in need of a second Exodus. The first readers would have heard and understand this. Jesus is revealing that he is the one who is fulfilling these promises. He's meeting the people of God in the wilderness. John's Gospel, the image of shepherd is used by Jesus himself. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus was a long-awaited Messiah, the shepherd king of God's people. He was fulfilling what God had promised to do in Jeremiah. He was feeding the sheep with knowledge and understanding. He was teaching them of the kingdom of God. In his compassion, he was teaching them of the importance of the need of repentance and belief. Look there again to verse 34. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. Jesus' initial response to those who were before him was to teach them. Was to teach them about the need of repentance and belief. See, Jesus had come to do something far more than happened in the book of Exodus. Moses had led the people out of Egypt where Jesus, he would lead them from a different kind of slavery. Moses led them from the slavery in Egypt where Jesus delivers us from the slavery that we all have to sin. But that's why he came. He came to deliver us from sin and death. For all who repent and believe in the glorious gospel, they are delivered by Jesus, so that we become children not born of natural descent or of our husband's will or human decision, but born of God. If you've repented and believed, if you've turned from your sins and you've trusted in the Good Shepherd, then you know this hope. You can come before the living God this day, as the psalmist says in Psalm 95. We come before our God as the people of his pasture, as the flock under his care, all through the Good Shepherd. And then in verse 35 to 44, we have the creative power of Jesus. Okay, it's now late in the day. With all that's gone on, that's what we're told. The disciples came down. So in all likelihood, sundown was about 6 p.m. So this is about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And they come to him, and the apostles remember that they hadn't had a chance to eat. They had gone to a solitary place with Jesus. They needed rest. And then they come to Jesus with this hungry multitude before him. And they come and they say to Jesus, send them away so we can get food for ourselves. They see the issue. They see a solution. It sounds sensible. Send away the people before this becomes a hungry mob. To that, Jesus responds. And you've got to love the answer here in verse 7 of Jesus to this words of the disciples. He says, you give them something to eat. Remember, these guys are exhausted. You know, they've been through so much. They've been out ministering and they were tired. They were needed of a rest. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Wonder how your words would be, you'd be feeling at that point. Here, 5,000 people out there. What? You mad? You see, how would they even come up with the cash for that? The NIV translates 200 denarii as 8 months of a man's wage. That's how much it would have cost. To give you an idea of the cost to feed this crowd in today's money, well, the average wage today is £29,600. That's the median wage in the UK. So effectively what Jesus is saying here is, go spend £19,733 in the supermarket, and that's how much it's going to cost to feed these people. Okay, that's how many weddings cost for 100 people, but you know, like, get the idea. This was a costly thing for the disciples. Never mind the practicalities of getting all this food out to these people. If you're running and getting caterers to do all of this, you don't just rock up on the day of the event and everybody pile in to cross guard, 5,000 people gathered around, and we go to McCarthy's and AJ's and Quinn's and everywhere else in the village and say, you need to feed all these people in one go. You've got 3 hours. We wouldn't phone the Finnebrogue estate and say, here, we've got an event on this afternoon. We need food for 5,000 people. They would say, you're mad. They would laugh at you down the phone. Listen, Jesus sends these disciples out to get, see what there is. See, as they come back, there's 5 loaves, 2 fish. These disciples had seen Jesus do so many wonderful things. They had seen him heal. They had seen him have the power over nature. They had even done these things themselves as they cast out demons and as they healed. But they still quite hadn't understood who Jesus was and is. And he gets the apostles to get them to sit down in groups on the green grass. I think back to that word that we used earlier, wilderness. There in verse 31, 32, and in verse 36, they were in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, there's green grass. Here's the allusion to Psalm 23. Here's the allusion to this good shepherd there being with them. And Jesus gave thanks to the bread and the loaves, or the bread and the fish, and broke it and shared it among them. And everyone who was there was fed. These meager rations. So much so that there's 12 basketfuls left at the end. You know, we could try to explain this miracle away from a human perspective. And, you know, I have read many books when I was preparing this sermon of people who tried to do that. saying that, well, in reality, everybody had a wee packed lunch with them, and whenever Jesus said, okay, about feeding them, they all lifted their wee packed lunch out and shared it about. And see, in reality, whenever you think of this from a human perspective, it's totally impossible. For those who understand that the miracle in this way, then ultimately they haven't understood who the Savior is and who Jesus is. Because this isn't possible from a mere man. This is only possible from God himself. Jesus in his creative power provides miraculously. Miraculously for all of these people. But yet they still didn't see and understand what was going on. Notice there, though, in verse 44, we have the number of the crowds. There were the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. See, the number that's given to us here is 5,000 men. Now, the Greek text and the Greek language that the New Testament in uses a few different words for men. Sometimes the word's inclusive, it means men and women. Sometimes it means it collectively, of course. And then there are other times where it is used, there are words used for men that are exclusive. Well, here is one of those words that is exclusive. This does not include women. This is 5,000 men who had eaten of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish with the 12 baskets left over. This is 5,000 men. Then say it's 50-50% equally spread. Then we would say 10,000 people were fed by Jesus. But then we have the children too. And yes, there were children there who came out to hear Jesus, because in John's Gospel and John chapter 6, we know that the person who brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish was a boy. There were men, there were women, there were children. You get the picture. Conservatively here, you could say that among them, there were at least 15,000 people who had come out and who had been fed by Jesus. Even in our familiarity with this miracle, if we spend some time to delve into what it is, it shouldn't be lost on us. This is like lorry loads of food arriving at a packed Windsor Park Stadium for all the Northern Ireland fans to be fed all in one go by 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus blessed the bread broken. He showed his creative power. But in his creative power, he does something else. Because Jesus went to the cross to die so that in his creative power, we may be reborn. So that we may be brought from death to life. So that there may be a new creation within us. For the old will have gone and the new have come. This is the creative power Christ gives to us. A couple of things I want to draw out of this passage as we come to a close. A simple question. Honestly, not trying to trick you. You don't need to shout it out. I'm not going to quiz you if you got it at the door. Verse 34. What was the cause of Jesus' compassion? What did the compassion of Jesus cause him to do? Because here what we often see is this amazing miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but it only comes after. The provision of the physical needs of the people only comes after Jesus had compassion on them. Something that's overlooked, but you'll see it there in verse 34. He began teaching them many things because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came with a purpose, and it was to teach about the kingdom of God, of the news of the needing to repent and believe. So he went out into Galilee proclaiming the good news, is what we're told in Mark 1 verse 14. The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. See, the message of the gospel, good news of the kingdom of God, the need of repentance in this good news is what Jesus took to them in his compassion. Yes, we're to help those around us. We're to be good neighbors. We're to love those around us. I don't disagree with you. None of us should. But when we simply meet the temporal needs of people as a church, then we have robbed them of what we are to do, which is to preach Christ, to tell them of the good news of the gospel, to tell them of the Savior who came to provide not of earthly provision, but of eternal provision. Here's another question. It's not a complicated one. You don't need to look at the text. How big is the God that you come before today? How big is the God that you come before today? Because for many people, they have a view of God that's more like an elderly grandfather figure. He's just really old, a little bit incompetent. Maybe the mind's going a wee bit, and he's just limited like we are. See, the thing is that so often we put upon God our limitations. From our point of view, if someone showed up with 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the Windsor Park Stadium, we'd think they're daft. Jesus looked at what they had. He looks at what we have. No matter how small, he can use it. In fact, he took a boy's lunch and he fed these people. The Lord uses us where we are with what we have for his purposes. But God can use us right where we are and what we're doing for his purposes. Let's think briefly to Psalm 23. For the psalmist, King David, there speaks of the Lord's shepherding care. Jesus is that shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the true shepherd of the people. He's the one who came to die for the sheep, to lay down his life for them, so that those who would repent and believe, they would indeed know what it is to be in green pasture, to lay their head beside still waters, so that they have nothing to fear. Today we are sheep, and that's not a compliment, and we need a shepherd. Is Jesus your shepherd? Are you a sheep who is dependent on your heavenly Father and the good shepherd for everything that lies ahead? Do you have that hope of Psalm 23 that the Lord is indeed your shepherd? For it is a great and a glorious hope. Hope that means that we can look ahead with real excitement. That we have no reason to fear COVID-19 because when it's all over, we have a greater existence when this is all left behind. And in every day, let us feed on his word. As we gather around the Lord's Supper, he feeds us in that through the crucified, risen, and exalted Christ. So that by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we indeed might know the shepherding care of our Lord, and we might have that heavenly hope. So when we say the Lord is our shepherd, we are saying that we are saved. We are a sheep. We are saying something about who we are, who we come before. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. As we do so, let us stand together. Heavenly Father, we come before you as those who are in need of a shepherd. Those who need the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to enable us to come before you. And as we do, we know that we are the people of your pasture, the flock under your care. And indeed, Lord, that we can come before you knowing that you have made us. So, Lord, help us to look to the good shepherd.
to know the super abundant provision that he has already achieved for us. As he has freed us from an even greater exodus and brought us from death to life. In his compassion and in his creative power work salvation through those who repent and believe. So Lord, as we feel the fleeting passage of this life, as we know how fragile our existence is, as we're on this tiny planet amid the spinning galaxies, help us to look to you, the one who is behind it all. Know that as the grass withers and the flowers fail, you will remain forever. So Lord God, in the midst of all of this world and all that is going on, as we see fear in the hearts and lives of people, help them to look to you and to not fear man or COVID. Fear you. And as they do that, to put their faith in you, the living God. So that, Lord, that they may know the salvation that is freely offered. Help us as a congregation, no matter how small we feel we are and insignificant, that we know that we can be used right here in this place, in the center of Crossgar. Help us to have compassion on our neighbors, to tell them the good news of the gospel. And mighty God, we do pray that you may be at work and in the midst of us. That for those who are struggling, that those who are facing many, many things, those who are ill and those who are hurting, you may be with them. Give clarity where it is needed. Bring healing where it is necessary. Lord God, help hope to be firmly placed in the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we do not know what the future holds, as news continues to spread about COVID-19 and variants and whatever else they may be, help us to look to the eternal hope that we have in you. And be at work in this broken and needy world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to join together to sing our praise in the words of our closing praise, "When I Survey."
Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.